folks that comes out of the city of Hartford and extends all the way out to the most western part of the region here. In the project area, I think we have the highest count is about 36,000 ADT at some point in recent history, average daily vehicle trips. We also have a lot going on here. This is really an area that's been targeted for growth and economic development for the town. I had sent, I think, as part of the proposal to get this award, we sent copies of the form-based code that show the whole State Route 44 and 565 area being zoned to be built out as a more higher density village, if you will. And there's also a lot of density also allowed within the East Gateway, which is basically from State Route 177 east on the Route 44 to this town of Simsbury and Avon town lines. And then also we have grant money to extend the Farmington River Rail Trail. It already comes through this area. We have it comes through south of State Route 565 right now. Also at that area is our second largest employer, which is significant. And then we have grant money to extend it east of State Route 177, which connects it with our largest employer, as well as a regional shopping destination. And we have a couple of challenges along the way. Another thing that we wanted to have evaluated in this study is over the years I've been here about 15, 16 years now, we've had a number of new traffic signals proposed within this area. And it seems to be first come, you know, gets it. And it's not untypical to see, you know, traffic signals proposed in close proximity to ones that have previously been proposed, but they're more convenient for the current property owner who seems to have the money to go forward. So we wanted this area to be evaluated for where the best possible locations for all future signals are. So we kind of get that documented and know what makes sense for all property owners and members of the public in general. So that's really a snapshot of some of the inspiration behind going after this corridor study. I'm sure there's things I'm neglecting to mention, but you know, just let me know if you have any questions.
Thanks. Thank you, Neil. Beside town folks, we have a couple of people from CROG attending today, Jacob Knowlton, Satoria Montanari, and Kara Radzins, who is the internal control for the study. And we have a few folks from DOT. Would you mind just mention your name, starting from Grayson?
Grayson Wright, CT Dot from the Bureau of Policy and Planning.
Next.
Fred Kulikowski, Transportation Supervising Engineer, Traffic Engineering Operations Unit, DOT.
Aswell Smith, Project Development Unit, DOT.
Matt Tiksinski, I'm with the Bureau of Public Transportation.
Next. Okay,
I think that's it for DOT.
Okay, thank you. And we have some other stakeholders that that's serving on technical advisory committee. We have Melanie Carr. I don't know if we mentioned her, and she represents local business, right?
Correct. I'm a development manager for the shops at Farmington Valley.
Sorry about that.
I have a very small screen today, so I can't see anybody else. Anybody else in the technical advisory committee that we didn't mention? Okay, if not, thank you. And I will use this attendance as the attendance seat from the Microsoft Teams. And in our, you probably have the agenda. In our agenda, I have public comments. I generally put that every time, regardless of it's a public meeting or the technical advisory committee meeting, because we have folks from the public in the technical advisory committee. So if anybody has anything to say, we always give that opportunity. So anybody, any public comments at this point? Okay, hearing none, thank you. So at this point, I would like the project consultant to introduce themselves and provide a brief introduction to the study and what they're planning to do, their schedule and whatnot. Thank you.
Thanks, Pramod. Really appreciate it. Joe Balskis for VHP. I have a presentation prepared. I can share my screen. Is that okay?
Yes.
Let me do that. There, share that screen. make sure that works. And let me go to presentation mode. So what you're seeing is basically our interview presentation. We've modified it for this kickoff meeting. Some slides were from the interview. I want to just give a brief overview of the project itself and just a sincere appreciation for the committee, for CROG, and for the town, for selecting VHB and the VN team. We're delighted to be part of the project, to be part of this interesting project in terms of Route 44, National Highway System Highway. A lot of history here and a lot of stuff that's happening in the area, what you'll see as we go through the presentation. So with that, let me just go to the next slide and talk about our team itself. And I'll start. Joe Balskis, project manager for VHB. I have about 34 years experience in Connecticut and transportation corridor study projects. And I'm very familiar with the Route 44 area as being a Hartford area native and traveled this corridor many, many times. We'll go right across the top. Next, Dan.
Hi, everyone. My name is Daniel Amstutz. I'm a senior transportation planner with VHB. I'll be doing a lot of the work on the public involvement and bicycle and pedestrian planning. I have about 10 years of experience, mostly with the municipal sector, working for towns and cities on bike ped and transportation safety.
I'm Charlie Baker, senior traffic engineer with VHB, and I'll be leading the traffic operations analysis task on the project.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Eric Tang of VHB, a senior highway safety engineer, providing expertise with safety analysis for the corridor and have supported regional planning agencies across Connecticut, along with Bridget, who will meet in a second, on the regional transportation safety plans.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Will Britnell. I'm a senior transportation advisor with VHB. I've got about 41 years experience overall. Last five have been with VHB, and prior to that, 31 years with Connecticut DOT. And my role will be primarily looking at conceptual plans for improvements.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bridget Moriarty, and I'm with VN Engineers, and delighted to be here working with VHB and the town of Canton and everyone. I'll be helping with the public involvement, and I'm familiar with the area, and I'm excited to get started.
And I'm Mark Jewell. Good afternoon. I'm senior planner with VHB, and I'll be assisting with the bike ped elements of the project.
Thank you, Mark. So this was what we submitted for our interview, our org chart. You see here our org chart, our key personnel on our org chart are here for this kickoff meeting. About the project itself, this is the rough study area. This was in the RFQ from CROG in the town, showing the six traffic signal locations, showing the existing bike ped access, and obviously showing an overall Dowd Avenue and Route 44 aspects of the project itself and what we'll be looking at in terms of our overall corridor study. I just put a slide here. We can go through some more detail if we need to. This is just the major task from the scope work. There's seven major tasks in our scope work and agreement with CROG, identifying the major parts of the corridor study effort, as you see here. Obviously, project management, I'll be leading that. But stakeholder public outreach, Bridget's going to work with us on that and leading an effort for us. Key aspect of every corridor study is public engagement. And we want to talk about that a little bit as we get further in the presentation. Data collection, obviously key. We've already started the data collection, as you may be aware. We've already done traffic counts out there last week. That was the last full week of school, so those have already been done. And then obviously existing conditions and future conditions and alternatives. And finally, with the plans. Those are key major tasks that we have for the project. We're also aware of the... Is it working? It's going a little slow for some reason. Here we go. We're also aware of the town study for the trail project behind the shops and obviously to the east. And we'll work in coordination with whoever that consultant is and work in coordination with the consultant on potential crossing, if there is a crossing to be made on Route 44 over to the east. So that's part of our scope work as well, the coordination with that consultant, as well as working on the potential crossing alternatives for Route 44. Typical approach involves a lot of traffic study type stuff. And Charlie, you want to mention a couple things here?
Sure. So as Joe mentioned, this project will follow the typical corridor study approach, beginning with traffic data collection, then analysis of existing conditions, including traffic modeling and a safety assessment, and will be projecting and evaluating future conditions, developing improvement alternatives, as well as an implementation plan at the end of the study. So as part of the study, we'll be conducting capacity analysis to evaluate traffic operations under existing conditions and under 2050 future conditions. The future conditions will be analyzed under baseline conditions using traffic projections provided by the DOT. We'll also be analyzing a potential growth scenario, including additional anticipated development along the corridor, as well as future conditions, including the improvement alternatives. The capacity analysis will be completed using industry standard Synchro software.
Thanks, Charlie. We have some history here at VHB, myself included as well, in terms of the intersection of 177 and 44 and the development on the northeast corner. So we have some familiarities from that standpoint in terms of traffic modeling and understanding the conditions in the corridor. Next is safety. Eric?
Yeah, to complement the work that Charlie's leading also, we have these safety analyses, and you know, we'll be able to go deeper into particular contributing factors for a variety of crashes that you find in this corridor. But in the meantime, even before the proposal, even before the interview, we were able to compile some piece of information primarily from the Connecticut Crash Data Repository, which some of you are probably familiar with from your day-to-day work. And for the study corridor, we identified 376 crashes over the last five full calendar years of data, and the majority of these crashes were intersections. But primarily, we think of the safe system approach. Some of you are probably familiar with the Connecticut Vision Zero Coalition. There's an ongoing effort to really reduce those severe crashes on Connecticut's roadways. So we look at the most critical crashes in the corridor. There were 67 fatal injury crashes, even larger proportion of those more severe crashes at intersections. And there was that one fatality, pedestrian fatality back in 2018, just west of Canton Valley Circle. So this is just an overview, but as we progress with these analyses, we'll be able to dive a little bit deeper to see what those combinations of factors are behind crashes and identify those countermeasures that could ultimately improve safety conditions within the corridor. And VHB has a history of compiling resources to help identify proven safety countermeasures. We've supported Federal Highway Administration on a number of resources, some of which are shown here on the screen. And we'll be able to conduct several types of analyses, including those systemic, those risk-based safety analyses, as well as your traditional hotspot analyses, and fusing those together to identify those key crash hotspots and contributing factors. And then we can also use the Highway Safety Manual, which is ultimately looking at predictive approaches to look at what those impact of those kind of measures could be on safety within your study area.
Thanks, Eric. Next, we go to public engagement. Bridget?
Yes. There you go. All right, so I'll be spearheading the public outreach component of this project, working very closely with the TAC committee and the town of Canton and DOT, just to ensure that we cover all our bases, that we reach all the stakeholders that we need to reach, and use methods that we think of that you approve. So if you go to the next slide, I'll kind of elaborate a little bit on that. I have done work in Canton. I ran the Safer to School program. That's probably where I first met Neil. And I think Jan's on the call, and Jan was on that committee. So it's kind of exciting to kind of full circle back to about 10 years ago. So anyway, so for this specific project, what we like to do first is develop a public involvement plan. And that will just outline all our stakeholders, our methods, our strategies of outreach, and ensuring that we definitely reach out to EJ and LEP persons. I will develop that plan and then present it to the TAC. And obviously, it's very collaborative effort between the two of us, you as a group and me and us as a group, just to make sure that we do cover all our bases. And within that public involvement plan, we'll outline the idea that we're going to do two surveys. One is going to be during the existing conditions development. So I anticipate sometime this summer we'll do that. And I'd like to do it online, and I'd also like to do it in paper copies, and I identify key locations where we can drop those off, whether it's the library or we can bring the farmer's market. Along with the committee, we can develop a list of sites that we know that people frequent, that they'll actually, and people, stakeholders that actually are vested in this project. And then the second survey we will distribute after the alternatives development. And we'll also help develop graphics and content for CROG's website. And if Canton, obviously, materials that you can post on your website, just for just to get the word out there and to get people's feedback. Like to host in our scope, we have two pop-up events. I know you have a farmer's market. We go to the shops at Farmington. I know you have the summer concert series and the music on Main. So in any of those events, if those are events that you think will work, that we can reach a wide variety of people, then we'd like to do that. Also host the three hybrid public meetings at various times, and we'll work on that with you again, and then present it to Board of Selectmen meetings. Then the next slide. This is just a list of stakeholders that that I put together, but obviously there's more than this, and that's where I think working with the TAC, making sure that we include everybody that needs to be included, so that we develop an alternative, a concept that reflects the wishes of the town of Canton, and from the business owners to the residents, and one that's successful. Thanks.
Thanks, Bridget. So we're almost done with the presentation. I want to give you a quick overview. So schedule, or anticipating the schedule. This is anticipated. It's not obviously ironclad, but obviously kicking off in June this month and today, and doing our data collection through the summertime, and then looking at doing existing conditions assessment by September, and probably do a public information meeting at that point in time, and as part of our public engagement. And then going through the future conditions and into next year with alternatives, and hopefully, looking at, this time next year, maybe finishing things up. But we also understand maybe longer, maybe more than 12 months, maybe it's 18 months, depending on public engagement and public outreach and how things go. But that's kind of what we're anticipating. There's obviously reviews by CROG and by the town, but that's kind of our task schedule we're anticipating. Then the last part we did want to talk about was town-provided data and our scope of work. We had some listing in the scope of work for information from the town, and we don't need this now, but this is just a list that we put together and assemble of what we're looking for, we'd like to have or access to for helping us with the existing conditions, including obviously some town plans and regional plans, zoning, and obviously the population employment data. We can get that from the state. And then also some looking for maybe the site plans for the shops would be helpful to have. And the bigger part of this is also the trail study and design schedule. It'd be good to have that. And finally, the listing of the TAC committee members that I'm sure we'll talk about. So that's kind of it for our presentation. We have a bunch of slides on various technical aspects of the quarter itself, including history and future and some of the options that we had identified as being possible. And we can go if need to, but at this point, I think we can kind of finish the presentation and go to the slides. We have a map as well, the project area, we can go to that. But that's just to give you a quick overview of what we anticipate for scope of work, for schedule, for some outreach activities, and then kicking things off this summer. Promote that's kind of where we are. We can delve into some of the, we know there's some challenges out there. We know there's some issues out there. We can jump in that, but I think it's maybe some more of a listening session. We can hear what other members of the committee and the members of the meeting want to talk about.
Great. Thank you, Joe. So thank you for the presentation and brief overview of the study. This point, I mean, we have, item at discussion. So anybody has any comments, suggestions, anything they want to talk about, we can devote next 15, 10, 15 minutes to that, and see where we go from there. Anybody has any comments, suggestion, anything about the corridor, about businesses, about the area, about the study? Go ahead, Neil.
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to appreciate that presentation, Joe. I guess one of the things I just want to make sure I emphasize, because I don't think I mentioned it in my introduction, though, is despite all the things going on here, one of the obvious to me it's obvious, but one of the priorities here is making sure we have a good understanding of improving safety for everybody who's going in and going to be populating this area or using this area outside of the use of a car, right? We want to make sure we can maintain, you know, we have a lot of freight that has to move through here. It's a major transportation corridor. We realize we have to move people as well through this corridor, but we want to make sure that we're doing what we can to make it safe so that people are able to get from point A to point B within this corridor without having to get back in a car, but can be safe doing so. And as it was kind of laid out over the years, it's, you know, got some areas that allow that to happen somewhat easily and other areas where it's very challenging. So that's something that we're very interested in making sure we figure out here.
Yeah, the interconnection of those different places, I think, you know, there's some villages that have shops and all that. That's very important. That, and I think we have emphasized that when we sent the RFQ out. Thank you, Neil. We have next, Jan.
I'm Jan Tanner. I'm a resident of Canton. My husband and I own Benidorm Bikes in Canton here. I'm part of the Bike Walk Canton group and certainly invested in, you know, safety of riders and pedestrians and just all kinds of other implementations within our community. Anyhow, I have some video that shows the condition of, it's very good video showing the condition of the sidewalk as it goes from East Hill Road, which is beyond the scope of this project, but it goes from East Hill Road to the intersection of Route 44 and 177. I also have one on 179, but that again is outside of the scope. My interest with this study is to not only consider, you know, how we're operating around the Farmington Valley shops, but also how, with the growth that is happening in Canton, how we are providing accessibility for people that do use the Route 44 area and not just the bike path accessibility. So I will hop on the sidewalk because sometimes I don't have time to get over to the bike path. It is really unsafe. I really want to make sure that we're taking that into consideration.
Thank you, Jan. We definitely have some consideration in RFQ for looking beyond just Route 44. We thought at least looking half a mile on either end from the corridor itself will provide some better, you know, solution to access issues there. And then we'll be looking into that. And then even using the existing trails to interconnect or provide connection to the neighborhood or the employment centers and even just people who are taking trails. I think it's very important in this study. Thank you. Anybody else? Any comment? Okay, go ahead, Fred, from DOT.
Hi, I just want to confirm, or could someone from VHB confirm the study limits?
The study limits, it was actually, we have the milepost in the RFQ. It's the Route 44 from town line to Simsbury on the one end to the little bit further up Dowd Avenue on the western end, right there, the black line is there, yeah. And then parcel on the portion of the Dowd Avenue there, the horizontal road there, yeah, right there. So that's the corridor. But we're looking at least, you know, generally when we do corridor study, we look half a mile from there for these other mode of alternatives and stuff like that. If we provide sidewalk or trails connections, and that's because you can't just look at the corridor, you know, straight line and then try to make a recommendation. So whatever the bubble says, I mean, it's kind of looking at that area overall. But improvements will probably be close to Route 44 and Dowd Avenue. But the catchment for, you know, population or the walking facilities will cover a little bit beyond that yellow and green lines.
Okay. Can somebody post those mileposts in the chat?
Yeah, I have a really tiny laptop right now, so I can't really put it right now. But yeah, so but I can, Joe, if you have access to the RFQ, it's on the first paragraph of RFQ. If not, I can send it to you, Fred.
Okay, much appreciated. I just want to, you know, kind of focus on where we're going to be looking at.
Fred, it's definitely the town line with Simsbury on the east end from what this is showing. But we'll get you the milepost. I'll try and find it while we're talking.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next, or anyone for that matter?
Joe, I found it. I'll post it.
Thank you.
No, I got you.
Eric's already there. So, Fred, you're all set. It's in the chat.
Thank you.
And Fred, just to follow up on that too, there's six, in terms of intersections for both pedestrians, vulnerable users, and vehicles, there's six signalized intersections in the study area that we'll be building the synchro model from. And potentially a crossing over here, on the town line area for a trail, potential crossing over there that'll be looked at.
Sounds good.
So if we don't have any questions or comments at this point, we have some other topics to discuss, which is the meeting of technical advisory committee, the schedule of the meeting, and then the mode of, you know, how we're going to meet. For that, either we can stay on this chat for a little longer, or we can do via email. Whatever you prefer. Generally, for technical advisory committee, since DOT likes to attend, we try to do that during business hours, preferably, you know, between noon and one or noon and two. We're meeting six times, I think, over the course of study. And then we'll have public meetings that will be to accommodate public. So we'll be doing off hours, evenings or weekends, or, you know, if it's fairs and festival, we go there. The team goes there to seek public input. So that will be during those hours. And I'll send a tentative schedule of the public technical advisory committee. It won't be fixed for all six meetings because, you know, it's kind of, it floats around when the product is available and things like that. But we will see, you know, what days are feasible for best for people to take that 2 hours off in during the day. Generally, DOT folks are available during the weekday office hours. So for you from the town and volunteers, you may have a little bit different schedule. So let's fix that up, and then we'll have basic day of the meeting, and then we'll follow with that schedule for next second meeting, which I will discuss with the town and consultant and see what, when and what we need to meet on. It's probably when they start working towards existing conditions report, that's when we will we'll look at for the second meeting. The one quick thought on Joe's presentation that, you know, he mentioned that the existing conditions data collection will be done between June and July. As you know, the road, not the geometry, but the road traffic changes after the school year ends in mid-June, and of course some summer travel and whatnot. So they are actually doing the traffic count already before the school ends. So the traffic count portion of that will be done during school year, so we know the peak hour traffic that typically happens during school year. And then the rest of the data is the static data that will be collected through the town and CROG and whatnot, that will be done post mid-June. I mean, from now on until they complete the data collection. So that's, just wanted to mention that. Eric, you have something?
Yeah, it was regarding the schedule. I was thinking, you know, we mentioned that, Pramod, you mentioned the TAC meetings and public outreach and all that, but I was curious if there's any need to, maybe this is a question for Neil, with the municipal election in November, does that affect the timeline, or does that influence any particular milestones that need to be met or public outreach elements? I was wondering if you could weigh on that.
Well, I don't think so as far as the election itself is concerned. I honestly, I don't even know if anybody's announced a slate yet that we'd be aware what ramifications that could possibly have. But regardless, I think the main thing, though, is for our, I mean, from my experience, trying to get maximum amount of public input and public outreach. You know, the summer months are just very problematic. A lot of people vacation, not around, et cetera. But once the school year starts again, it seems like we have a better following or crowd. Access to people seems to go up because more people are here. And, you know, I think that's just something to be aware of. And I think that's somewhat built in your schedule already. So.
Yeah, well, I don't think anything will happen during summer months regarding outreach to the public, because we'll have some ideas of what we're collecting, or, you know, the survey and all those. So that'll probably take at least a few months to prepare and go. So we're thinking like maybe early fall or mid fall to start collecting survey and things like that.
Yeah, we're just on that schedule question. We're expecting, obviously, you know, as Pramod mentioned, accounts are done. Using the summer to gather more information. We'll be doing some field work out there as well. You know, and, you know, we're expecting the first public information meeting, you know, late September, early October, because we'll have the existing conditions all set, we'll have all the data collected, and we're going to meet the public. Now, before we meet the public, we'll have a TAC meeting, obviously. So we'll have, at least one TAC meeting, which I think that could be in August, that could be earlier than the public information meeting, and kind of present to the TAC, here's what we have, here's what we found, here's what it is, here's the draft of that. And talk about what we could present to the public. That's typically what we do. We meet with the TAC first, then the public. So I would say in late August, September timeframe will be our first TAC meeting, first formal TAC meeting of the six, if you don't count this one, and then basically set us up for presenting existing conditions at some meeting, to determine, in late September. And then obviously do future conditions, and then that could be presented later as well at some point. So that's kind of what we're kind of anticipating for schedule and in terms of just in general how the next few months are going to go. And it makes sense too. I mean, we don't do much data collection that is sensitive to summertime conditions. We will be out there this summer. Maybe there will be some changes in traffic flow as a result, but we can observe that. But the count day itself, the base count day has been completed. Now, I thought we could talk about stakeholders. I can pull it up as well. Bridget had a list of stakeholders that we could, if that's worthwhile talking about now, or we could do it separately. It'd be ideal to have that if we could discuss that. Is there anything missing here at first blush that anyone sees? Is there anything missing here initially? And number two, need to get a formal listing of the TAC members. I know there's a lot of people here. Like to have a formal, maybe a project contact listing of everyone's here, but who you know, obviously who the client is, CROG, and DOT is a participant, and obviously the town is, and then who the TAC members are. I think that'd be ideal to have, but we should talk, if we could, talk briefly about, or put it off, talk briefly about stakeholders.
Thank you, Joe. Well, for the TAC members, I think this list is pretty much TAC members beside DOT. DOT will always invite. So all the members here are invited as TAC members. And then and stakeholder, by the way, I'll provide you the list, Joe, with all these list in affiliation and on other information. So email, whatever. So you can start creating the contact list. And contact list is dynamic. As it comes, you know, there will be two more people interested. So we'll just keep adding them. And it will, you know, we'll always have conversation about that, so that will be ongoing. TAC members, stakeholders, I think as we start this study, we will communicate with town, and then we'll continue the conversation. We'll keep adding the list, expanding the list as available. And when Joe mentioned that the next meeting, TAC meeting, will be, you know, in September, it doesn't mean that we'll not be talking before. I think we'll have lots of email communication going between all of us. More than often, asking questions or clarifying things or providing information, asking for information. We'll probably are, if not me, Joe and team will be asking for lots of town information, the plans and documents that's available either through town websites or, you know, directly from the town. And this looks this list look pretty good. Maybe there will be, you know, particular people we need to find out. For example, transit users and where we find them, or in, as you mentioned, maybe we'll go to those retail locations where people come and work taking transit. So that's how we find. So some of the list looks good, but the particulars I think remains to be filled. So we will. We can communicate with the town and our respective parties to get the fill the list here. I see Jan has raised hand. Can Jan? Jan, go ahead. Can't hear you. Are you? Let me see if I can unmute you. Nope, I cannot unmute you.
Yeah, it's unmuted. So with that said, Pramod, I'm be curious to hear any recent information or happenings within the corridor that we should be aware of as we're embarking on the existing conditions. I mean, I'm showing a map that kind of split screens. It shows in 2015 on the left side, and then 2023, an aerial map from April of this year, kind of shows, you can see by just going through here, obviously there's been some changes on the north side of Route 44. The shops really hasn't much changed in the shops themselves, but north side, we know Mitchell, Subaru, we know there's some changes over there, some development over there. So just curious, there's been action over here too, actually, or this is under construction too. That's right, the restaurant over there. So just, is there anything we should be aware of recent history, the last 3-4 months that has occurred in the corridor that is something that's relatively new that wasn't necessarily in the RFQ that we should be aware of? That would be ideal to have. I lost that, didn't I?
Yeah, we have a couple things. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a couple things pending, I guess, being contemplated with, it's kind of perhaps already built into your project, but with the south side of Route 44, the area right around 50 Albany Turnpike, that's being considered for a rezoning right now that would also allow a high density residential in it. That's currently in a hearing in front of the public and the Planning and Zoning Commission. And we don't know which way that's going to go at the moment. So that's one of those things. If that ends up getting approved, I would notify you that that's a change in the development potential in that area. And then there's, you know, that also at the moment includes, I'm blanking on the property number. I think it's 5 and 9 Albany Turnpike on the south side of Route 44, which had previously been approved for a Lowe's Home Improvement Center, was previously explored for a Super Walmart, and now that's being explored for the allowance of high density residential as well. But those are all up in the air pending. They're not quote unquote real at the moment, but this you know, application or review of this hearing could lead to a, you know, quote unquote real project. So that's just something to be aware of, and I'll advise you if those are approved or denied.
Thanks, Neil.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if, you know, Ostar has anything either. I mean, that if that must have been already approved by the town, though, if anything OSTA approves, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know if everything goes to OSTA before it comes to us.
Okay. But,
I know there was traffic signals approved for the Lowe's, at least, that were never built, which kind of kicks me back to my original question.
Yeah, where was the Lowe's proposed? Over here?
It would be, I think it's 5 and 9 Albany Turnpike. It's the south side, right before the Simsbury Town Line. You're just above it. You got to move your cursor to the right.
Over here. Yeah, over here.
The old, there's an old gravel pit there you can see on the aerial.
Yep. Okay. This is the OSTA map. This shows the current OSTA. This is as of a couple months ago, showing major traffic generators that have been approved and obviously probably built. Okay.
That's neat.
This is Melanie from the shops at Farmington Valley. I just wanted to highlight that we have a second entrance that got approved and has been approved by OSTA, but we have not actually built the condition yet. We're in the process of it right along Secret Lake Road.
Right here, yeah, right?
Correct. So we did the portion that's on our property, but we have not done the portion in the right of way. We're in the process of doing it right now.
Yeah, we saw like the barrel, the traffic barrels are out there. Yeah, we saw that.
Yep. Okay, just wanted to highlight that. That's the only change I see right now for the shops.
So, regarding the shops, is there anything we need to know in terms of concerns that you have or problems you have with that? Just since we're all here, in terms of access. Mm-hmm. Is there backups between the internal intersection, the intersection of Route 44? Is there anything in particular that we should be made aware of that you would see it every day versus us?
Nothing with the main entrance. I mean, we pursued a second entrance so that we had a second entrance to the shop so that it wasn't just the main road, so there wasn't as much backup. We're hoping we'll get some relief from that, but I mean, most people will still use the main entrance.
So they'll be able to come in and turn left and then come in and turn right and then go out the same way as well. Come out, turn left and go right out. That will be allowed.
Correct.
And that's how it was. So it's changed. So back in the day, 2015, had it was like that. That makes sense. It was changed.
It was just an access road. It was an emergency access road. Wasn't used by the public. And now we're going to have a public access.
That actually makes sense. That's good to hear.
And is there, Joe, I was going to ask, is there, I don't know if this is for Neil or for Melanie, but the emergency access that's gated at the other side of the development, that has no intention of being changed at any time?
Not right now, though.
Yeah, right now, that's where we show the rail trail coming into the property. So I think that's the only thing it could be expanded. Its use would be expanded for.
And Neil, can you talk about where the rail study the trail study, excuse me, I mean, I'm missing my lunch. Where the trail study schedule, is the schedule we outlined in parallel to what you need for the trail study?
We have not executed a contract on that. The process of that has kind of been slowed, but we're looking to try to construct possibly this year, or design and possibly construct at the end of this year or early next year, depending on how the construction season falls with design, the segment that goes into the shops from Lovely Street and more or less to a general kiosk that'll be available for the public inside the property. And then that, you know, we got the construction money. We're ready to go with that as soon as we can get the design consultant on board. There you go.
So the purple line.
Yep.
Up to here. Okay.
That we got the design money. We're trying to get a contract on that. Sorry. And the purple and yellow, which there's another graphic. I don't know if you have it. I have it. That kind of shows the full extension from the blue to the yellow all the way to the Simsbury town line and different possibilities. And some of those things, what's very problematic about this whole thing is going to be the corner of where Melanie was just highlighting, where the new entrance is to the shops on Secret Lake Road. Getting through that whole corner there where the I think it's a Midas shop on the corner, it's very, very tight. We're not sure how we're going to be able to get through and around that or if we have to do a crossing there or not. And that's something that's in the design budget to try to figure that out. But that part of the design process is supposed to lag behind the corridor study to try to get maximum benefit from the work and public engagement that you guys are going to be doing so that they can be taken into consideration and harvested for that that design product.
Joe, do we have a copy of the 100% design plans for that new entrance, or is that available?
I did ask for the site plans for the shop, so we can make that as part of the list to make sure we get that.
I can provide it too if you do not have it.
Thank you. Tim's got his hand raised, looks like.
Yes, Tim with Bikewalk Canton. I drive through that section quite a bit. It's my experience, there's a light at the end of Secret Lake Road, and just a few feet down from that, at the automobile center, there's a different light, and I don't think they're synced. So if you're traveling east or west on 44, you could encounter both lights operating independently, sequentially, which I never understood. I don't know why they're not directly across from one another.
And you're saying this approach is on a different phase than this approach, or separate phases?
Well, yeah, I think so. Because you could be making a left.
Yeah, if you're getting a green here, they're not getting a green. They get a green light, yellow, red, then this gets a green light. So it's a separate phase.
Yeah, well, think about it. If you're making a left on each side, how are you going to do that without crashing into one another?
This is why you do the quarter study. It may be in the end there's a potential recommendation for a realignment of those approaches. That may help with the efficiency of the intersection in the quarter. So that's something that we'll be looking at some point.
Well, I think that was relatively recent, and I just can't imagine that was implemented without anybody considering that. But anyway,
Tim, it's a good question. It could have been a DOT project or a DOT study. We can ask Fred to see if there's anything from DOT in that. We'll look into that and be aware of that.
Okay, if we'd have caught that sooner, maybe we could have taken the car dealership and had them shift their exit out of that. But anyway, just wanted to bring that up.
Thank you. We have Bill's. Yep. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes. Just as a reminder again, I'm a member of the Board of Selectmen in town. And just two things when you're doing your public outreach, I guess I'd like you to really consider. First of all, on Dowd Avenue, Route 562, we have probably, I think there are four major elderly housing and over 65 developments. So a very large percentage of our elderly people and people that have transportation difficulties and pedestrian difficulties live adjacent to Dowd Avenue. At least one of the complexes, or probably both of the complexes, two of the complexes, are beyond your study area, but Dowd Avenue is the main road that they all travel on every day. So when you're doing your public outreach, I hope you really try and work either through our senior center or through those complexes directly to get input from all the seniors that live in that area. The second point I guess I want to make in terms of public outreach, I know you're already doing traffic counts and getting numbers for all these roads, but the Board of Selectmen, particularly in the last 2 years or so, has just been bombarded with complaints and concerns about the speed on all the state roads in this area. And I don't know if the traffic count numbers really take that into consideration, or how speeding shows up in a study like this. Again, we have a very limited size police force. We've done everything we can to try and put as many police resources in the last year or two on some of these major state roads to try and reduce the speeds. But again, that message keeps coming back to us on the Board of Selectmen, still, in spite of what we've done, that speed is a huge factor in accidents and in the congestion and traffic problems that we see on Route 44 and Dowd Avenue. So again, I think it's more than just traffic numbers. I think the speeding there is a significant problem that I hope can get factored into the survey.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Neil, you have something?
Just following up on Bill's comment, I appreciate him pointing out the speed issue. Probably should have led with that. That's such a big public concern. Joe, if you can move the map back farther to where he was just showing in the places along Dowd, that portion of the corridor also has a lot of our affordable housing. And then up on Commerce Drive, we also have two affordable housing complexes. And again, I mentioned our employer that is here, our second largest employer, that's a nonprofit as well. So we have a very interesting transit route through here that basically heads, I think it heads just west on Albany Turnpike outside of the project area, then it'll loop around and then head east on Dowd back to 44. And the idea that that's where we have perhaps maybe a population that would benefit from having better access to transit or ways to get to transit safely would be just something to focus on in those areas, because that's where we probably have a lot of people that benefit from not having the economic benefits of not having a car is huge to a lot of people. So the way that could be facilitated with infrastructure would be beneficial. The other thing I wanted to point out is just adjacent to the Canton Village Shopping Center, there's another apartment project that was approved there recently, not built yet, not into building permits yet, but was approved by planning and zoning. If you see the box, it looks like an old grocery store, Joe. Yep, just north of that. That whole piece of land north of that was approved for about, I think it was 55 units. So that'll be added into the project area as well if it's constructed. And then on the south side of Dowd Avenue, there was an informal last Thursday where I think it was like six townhouses directly opposite of the grocery store building. But I don't know how that went. I was at legal training on Friday, and I haven't caught up to what happened Thursday night yet.
So, Neil, a couple things. We'll get back to speeds in a minute, Bill. Let's just go in terms of transit. I'll make sure we understand what you said. This is the CT transit routes that are on 44. Were you speaking to the senior center transit, paratransit maybe working when you said loops? Because we're only aware of CT transit and, you know, on 44 going through and looping up here. We're not aware of anything that's going down Dowd Avenue.
I guess maybe that's right. I was under the impression, and maybe it was a while ago, that the commuter route would actually loop down onto River Road and then head east on Dowd to come out this way for its eastbound journey. But perhaps that's not correct.
All right. And the last thing with regards to speeds, we're if you read the news, you hear everything in Connecticut, our speeds are crazy. The crazy drivers out there, speeds are through the roof everywhere in Connecticut. And we're seeing that. And that's why the legislation is getting passed for doing automated speed detection. Towns will be able to do their own automated speed detection through a process. But the point being about speeds, Bill, we did collect speed data on we do traffic counts, we do turn movement counts, we count all traffic, bikes, peds, vulnerable users, all vehicles, and also speeds. And we also have a lot of DOT data in the area as well. So I think we'll have the speeds covered. We'll also do speeds that we'll observe through the quarter as well. But yeah, we are documenting the existing conditions for vehicle speeds through the corridor as part of our existing conditions. So we'll have that, and we'll be presenting that to the committee to attack at some point. And I did hear a statistic from the commissioner of DOT not too long ago, or maybe it was through Dr. Eric Jackson for the Research Center. The people traveling over the speed limit is just exponentially increased. And during the pandemic, and it hasn't ceased, it's continued. So speeds will be an issue, I think, on this corridor. It's a national highway system, highway Route 44. It's one level below expressway, if I'm correct, Will, or something like that. It's a national highway. But obviously it's four lanes. There's some straightaways we'll be looking at. So it is part of our scope of work to review and evaluate and be part of any kind of discussion we have going forward. As part of the project team.
Thank you, Joe. I just wanted to add to Joe's comment that yes, we just data collection just doesn't include number of vehicles or what runs there, but any concern that you have, and safety is the foremost concern from residents, and vehicle speed is one of those that concern safety. So we'll definitely absolutely look at that and countermeasures for that.
Maybe could Eric actually discuss that? Because I know in the UConn Crash data repository, it shows all the factors, the contributing factors for crashes. So he'll be able to use analysis, and he's very experienced in that. So we could actually have the data that supports that these crashes are due to speed.
Sorry, promotes.
Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I was just going to, I was confirming Bridget's statement there. Using the various coded fields in that database, we were able to compile those contributing factors, especially if they're flagged to speed.
Caswell, to your comment, this is mile 40.35 right here. This is Old Canton Road. So this is Dowd Ave. I'm talking about. This is where the shops are. So it's the western limit of the project. On that map, we had showed as well. It's pretty much here.
Yes, I'm looking at our GIS map here at DOT, and I was seeing 57 at the intersection. I was just wondering where you get 40.35. Maybe I'm looking at something that's wrong, but this is our GIS, and it's supposed to be the latest.
I had to manually bring that number. Caswell, because the study ends there where, Joe pointed, but we needed that point, and I couldn't find that. I found that 45, what you mentioned, so I had to track back a little bit by measuring the GIS layer and bring it 35,
But in any case, that's way off. It's actually 57 if you're talking about the Old Canton Road. It's a mile point 57, and just to even give you a point of reference, so where you have the Dowd intersection, Dowd Avenue, that would be mile point 57.36. That's what I have here now.
Maybe that's a metric, because the DOT's highway log I'm showing here, the town line is 42.08, 67.72, and then you go to Old Canton Road, it says 40.37. So this is the DOT's highway log. Maybe the GIS changed it when it put in GIS, but this is what
it's doing. I think this is old. The one you're looking at is pretty old. If I could steal a screen and show you what I'm looking at, I could steal a screen for a second. All right, let me steal the screen. All right, so this is what I'm looking at. Could you see my screen? Let me know if you can see my screen. I'm going to zoom in. So here we are, and we're at the Simsbury-Canton line. See that 58.71? That's our mile point there. Could you see that?
Yeah, that's okay. Interesting.
Huh? Yeah. So I was the whole time I was wondering, where did you guys get the 40.35? Because it's nowhere within the project limits in Canton.
Caswell, you might be looking at US 202 because they overlap.
No, this is 44, well, right?
But 202 is both. But 202 gives different mileage.
So, for example, I'm going to share my screen.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. It could be 202 mile points instead of 44. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Caswell, at the Simsbury line, 202 is at 58.7. That might be. So I'm using a different GIS layer, kinetic conduct GIS layer, and it's 58.7 for 202 at the town boundary. At the same time, 58.7 on 202 is equivalent to 42.08 on 44.
Okay. All right. So that's where the confusion is coming in. All right. So 202. Yeah. Okay. I'm showing this, two. So you're saying I'm seeing 202 mile points is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And this is a very newly introduced map as well. You know, we didn't have this before, so we were going with paper copies. So.
Well, it's a good point,
this is a good resource, but going forward, I think we could use it for a little better understanding.
But it's a good it's a good point to raise to the GIS folks. Maybe talk to Greg Ciparelli about that. It's showing for some reason 202. Maybe it's a way to show both of them. But that's clearly what it is. Because 202 is definitely longer than 44 in Connecticut, or at least this part of it.
I was going crazy trying to figure out where did you guys get the 40.35. Okay. Good to know. Thanks. I stopped sharing my screen. You guys can steal the screen again.
So, Jan, we have Jan Tanner again. Please go ahead.
I hope you guys can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So, the scope of this study, I hear the reference of Old Canton Road, and then, you would go maybe a half a mile beyond that. We've heard the conversation about excessive speeds on Route 44. And while it is recognized as the next layer, like it's a national system highway, I think we're doing ourselves a disservice to not consider the whole section that goes from Route 44 and Cherry Brook Road all the way down to, you know, the shops. We, as a town, you know, we have new buildings for residents just north of the intersection of 179 and 44. We have a new apartment complex near the intersection of East Hill and 44, where I'm just hearing of the 55 units that are near the Old Canton Road, and then the potential 6 townhomes. Why do we want to sell ourselves short on the safety of pedestrians and cyclists and the future of people being able to use and access multimodal transportation by keeping our scope to just that? Well, maybe Old Canton Road down to the shops. You know, more people need to be able to go along the Route 44 area safely. As a cyclist, I will not put myself on Route 44. I've put myself on the sidewalk just because of time. With the speeds that I witness daily, yes, kids that are going to school that use the sidewalk on alongside Route 44 need a safer, you know, section to be able to ride on. You know, I just want to make sure that we're not selling ourselves short on an opportunity to really take into, you know, consideration that safety. You know, Canton, as part of Bike Walk Canton, the majority of our roads are state-owned roads, you know, whether it be, you know, Route 4, 179, 44, you know, it's like we just need to provide that safe accessibility.
Thank you. Thank you, Jan. I mean, part of the study that will definitely look into safety consideration, either on a local road or Route 44. It doesn't matter. The part of the study contains that. So we'll see how safe passes along Route 44 will be possible, not only just for motorists, but also for bicyclists and pedestrians, because you have businesses along Route 44 that people take transit to work on. So we do need, you know, safe access for them from the bus station, transit station to the businesses walk. So yes, the study will look into it.
And while we consider the safety of the motorist, with a recent killing of a customer that was on Old Winstead Road and another customer that's still in the hospital, the safety of motorists, they have the choice to use their brakes. They have their choice to not look at their navigation in their car or their phone. As a pedestrian or as a cyclist, you don't have much of a choice. You know, our spaces are crowded with guardrails or berms. You know, it's like us always considering motorists really allows for more speed, is my view of it. So I really want to thank you.
Let's keep this conversation going, you know, offline, and then because now you are here and you can provide your valuable feedback to the consultant when they are preparing reports and then alternatives. And that, absolutely, we'll try to address the safety issue foremost.
I want to jump in there because I think one of the things Jan's pointing out, which is, a very important concern, is just the past this study area, there's a lot going on the west side of Route 44 at the 179, 44, 202 intersection and north, south, and east and west of that. There's a lot of things that need to be evaluated there in the future. It's outside of the scope limits for this quarter study, but perhaps there's some ways in which this study can help us lead into that, or maybe help identify funding sources or things for us to maybe do a phase two or extended study as a subsequent phase or something that builds off of this project, because there are a lot of concerns that she kind of relayed there that are still very significant for this community, and we don't want to lose sight of them, even though they're just beyond the boundary of this project area.
Thank you, Neil. Okay, so if we don't have further comments or questions at this time, I'd like to thank you everyone who attended this meeting and providing your very valuable feedback to the committee. And I'll thank all the volunteers that are willing to, you know, devote their time to make this study a success. And going forward, I will be working with the town and the advisory committee members to form the advisory committee group, you know, go to emails, listserv and whatnot, and then set up the meeting time. And then we will move forward the study. And although we'll have next meeting in a few months, we'll definitely have ongoing conversations about different aspects of the study. And you can always reach me or Joe, team leader of the consulting team, or Neil itself. You know, Neil can, always reach out to me. So if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, it doesn't have to be anything. You can always reach out to me with any ideas you have, and then to expand the study and explore the study. So any last comment, anybody? Neil?
I think we're all set.
Great. Anything, Joe? Last comment?
Yeah, this is great. There's a lot of good information here. Appreciate the time. And again, being the consultant team selected for this, we're looking forward to this. We're excited about it, as you hear from Bridget. And we'll be planning to have a TAC meeting, probably late summer. But now it's really, get our homework done in terms of the existing conditions and get that taken care of. So we'll definitely be in touch. I would like to develop a project contact list so we get that going. That'd be helpful to have that. And then we can work on the stakeholders later. So, I'll provide a copy of this via email of the presentation that we did today.
Sounds good. Thank you.
We'll be documenting the meeting itself, the discussion of the meeting, and the comments that were provided in a formal meeting notes for today's meeting, today's kickoff.
Great. Thank you, Joe. And I'll set up, I'll work on setting up a study phase, and we'll start putting documents there that we either present and we have. So, and feedback, we'll also create a feedback portal where you can provide your feedback to us about the study. And then, thank you again. Hopefully we'll see you in a couple months, and we'll figure it out, the format. It'll continue virtual for first few meetings or do in person. That remains to be decided. Great. We'll all have a good afternoon and
thank you.
See you soon. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.